Radio, it is my favorite thing. The radio, on radio I sing. I spend some time on radio. I talk to all my friends today. I spend some time on radio, a radio. Hello, Hardy White. And this is Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. This show is all about being creative with sound, which I'm not doing right now, but I... Hey, that's me getting stabbed to death. Not really. It's this, which is me stabbing a potato with a butter knife. And then, on top of that, it's this, which is me punching a paper towel roll. And then I made some paper mache glue, and I stuck my hands into it like this. And then... also, into said glue, I slap my hand. I also broke a bunch of vegetables, which I guess I got to eat later, and one of them was cracking some celery. And then you take them and you put them all together, and it sounds like Ike the Spike stabbing that lady in Twin Peaks. Now you say, that sounds a little goopy, and I hear all that liquidy sound. Isn't that too much for the blood? But I say when the music goes over it, it masks it. So it's loud, but it's got to be loud to be sickening. Oh, at first he gets punched and he falls. And so you put that in there too. So first you have to get a punch, and then I've got two distinct falls in there too. And then all together they sound like this. But now who has an assassin run in there and stab him with an ice pick and not make any sound? So we gotta add that. Oh my goodness. Hardy, are you okay? And then we add that to everything else, and we have this. Oh, boy, I hope I'm okay. The first thing you hear is a punch that I made out of celery and punching my hand in two different ways. That's it. Oh, classic. Then the fall is dropping a sack of potatoes onto a rug. And then dropping a sack of potatoes onto a chair that then falls onto the rug. And so that's another component. Isn't that lovely? So all these things are layered. Another thing I did is I took my vice grips of different sizes and I made... some gun sounds, since all my guns are being lent out right now and I don't have them. So I made some sort of what I thought are like shotguns and handgun sounds. Hey guys, I don't want any trouble. I'm not armed. I'm blowing on my gun inexplicably. Ah, well, that takes care of that. Maybe I am armed with my own vice grips. That was a canned gunshot thing. I think it's from an old Western. Ah, that's enough. I don't want to walk and get my...
And now our feature presentation. And now, Walt Disney Pictures presents our feature presentation. It's the Best Believe Show on television, and you're gonna love it. The Best Believe Show on television, you're gonna love it. Walt Disney Pictures and your friends and
Best
family.
Best Believe Show on television doesn't mess around,
and you're gonna love it. The Best Believe Show. It's the best show on television. Walt Disney Pictures and your friends and family. You're not messing around.
No one messes around.
Donnie doesn't like it, but there's nothing he can do on Nothing You. It's the best police show on television. Best police show on television. It's not messing around. And on The Very Ones,
Walt Disney Pictures and the best police show of the year in theaters.
Jimmy's got to try, but he's don't got a bite side of beer line on Helena. Bed and bone salad, but he gets out all Monte Carlos, all of the young ones.
Walt Disney Pictures.
On a very special Tuesday, Jimmy's gonna grade, but he doesn't know how to get back on the Friday side. And Louis on the marriage, and he's very gone. And the throne, Freddy says. Riddle space. Themed on a burger.
Friends and family.
That's what a bang on flights and freaky flea flights. Dreams on the brown.
Walt Disney Pictures.
Famous Sam, better get a long one. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. A thing I like to do sometimes is make a little vignette, you know, where there's a pirate and his name is Captain Durer. And I got one of the sound effects from, I was scooting a chair like that on a wood floor. And I think what I ended up doing was sort of making a creaking wood sound effect. Now, many of them I make myself like this one, and this I think is the same wooden chair. And then I had recorded some beach sounds at Jekyll Island. And I layered those on. And I thought maybe that sounds like a ship, but you've really got to add seagulls. And I'm not sure these are my seagulls or commercial seagulls. And then this is my falling overboard sound, which is I dropped a rock in my fish pond and then slowed it down. Because it's an illusion. Because radio is an illusion and all sound is an illusion. And when you watch television and you watch movies, there's all sorts of sound illusions going on. You don't even realize on those David Lynch movies where there's some low hum or something you don't even realize is there. In the Antonioni movie, Red Desert, there's an electric hum, I think, that probably inspired David Lynch. And you are unaware sometimes of the sounds that are affecting you. You don't hear them, you feel them in a way.
Gilligan, be careful. Run over here.
I will. Who are you?
You're not Gilligan.
And you're not the professor.
But I am the professor.
And I am Gilligan. Oh, no. We must be Gilligan and a professor from some other dimension or possible world.
Oh, I know. What do we do to get off the island?
Maybe we're not on an island.
Well, that's a very good point. Excellent point. You know, I believe we're being persuaded by the music.
Yeah, it's this music. There, see? Now we're on a more neutral footing. I thought that there was something to be afraid of because the music suggested that.
Oh, but where are we now? What place have we descended into? This is a fate of our own doing. And yet, it does not matter. Because we dwell here now, perhaps for eternity. And whether it is eternity or not, it is virtually. Forever is a ship that constantly rides over the waves and on which one can never see the land rise above the horizon. It never comes. Just endless sea, storm to calm to storm to calm. All journey.
no arriving.
Fate knows what it wants, but it might not get it. On life. Oh, Fortuna, Velet Luna. Oh, my goodness, it can't be that bad. It's not that bad. Uh-oh, run!
From the Tour Eiffel fell the broken knight, and the tourists and the immigrants arrived, and the windows of Montmartre lit with a glorious light, and suddenly I saw Paris alive. I could see Paris alive. I could see Paris alive. I could see Helen and the pigeons begging for a miracle, and then I saw Paris alive. Well, the apple of discord rolls onto the floor, on the cafe of the Rue Saint Michel, and the battle begins for the fairest as more of the romantics fall under its spell. I could see Paris alive. I can see Paris alive. I could see Helen and the pigeons begging for a miracle, and then I saw Paris alive.
Walt Disney Classic Pictures presents a Walt Disney Classic. Walt Disney Classic Pictures presents a Walt Disney Classic. Flying things in the air are landing on the ground. Now, they're landing more than ever. Kids coming out of the woodwork, landing for Walt Disney Pictures presenting. Everybody, says that guy. Let's do it again.
You guys doing okay?
I'm good. Seat's too small.
I'm okay. Seat's too big.
Well, it's just right for me.
Oh, dang! The captain has switched on the no avant-garde poetry sign.
They must be having some weather up ahead.
They always say weather when they mean bad weather.
Like my mom says temperature when she means fever. You have a temperature, she'd say. I'd say, I hope so. Then she'd playfully stab me with those scissors that come with the first aid kit.
Excuse me, sir. The captain has turned on the no avant-garde poetry sign.
That wasn't avant-garde. It was regular poetry.
Let's err on the side of safety.
God forbid we should experiment with our speech, our ideas. All known, all white, bare white, body fixed, 1 yard, legs joined like sewn.
Sir?
Psych! It wasn't poetry. It's Beckett. Apology accepted. Now get me a Sprite, air servant.
Butchie, cut it out.
I hate flying.
I sort of like it. The seats are a little uncomfortable. But I really like looking out the window at nothing and eating little pretzels one at a time as slowly as possible.
Did you guys bring something to read?
I brought Alan Moore's novel, Jerusalem, but I had to pay extra to bring it on board because it exceeds the weight allowance.
What about you, Butchie?
Lou said they give you an underground comic called Sky Mall, so I'm going to read that.
I think he was pulling your leg. That's just a catalog for things you might want to purchase while you're in the sky.
You stink!
Sorry, man.
Now I have nothing to read.
Just take a nap.
I can't nap on planes. I can't get comfortable.
Man, I can nap anywhere. Behold my superpower.
Wow, he's out.
Wake up, you show-off.
Are we here?
No, we crashed in the Azores.
Don't joke about that, Butchie.
Oh yeah, jokes are like prophecy. They make things come true.
I hear you, but still, it makes people scared.
Everything makes people scared now. My grandfather wasn't scared of anything. He fought in 10 wars and was a prison guard in 7 countries and a prisoner in 8. And nothing scared him. He was, however, easily startled.
Well, humans are a fearful lot.
Good point. He wasn't human, but still.
Hey, Hardy, why are we taking a plane on vacation and not the time machine? This is a question from listener Diane.
Well, Diane, we aren't traveling in time, and the time machine uses up a lot of fuel, and frankly, we spent Lou's last paycheck on a swanky dinner.
I love swanky. It tastes like chicken. Not chicken. What's the other one?
Frog?
Yeah, or sea slug.
Here's another question from a listener. What's the difference between complicated and complex? And please describe emergent properties.
Nah, I'm good. Yeah, no.
Would you gentlemen like something to drink?
Please let me see your bourbon list, my good man.
We don't have a list. We have little bottles of Jim Blatt. I'll just have water.
Water, please.
Okay, water. If by water you mean Elmo F. Todd Single Barrel Limited Reserve 12-Year.
3 waters it is. Pretzels or Grandma Elsie's Mandelbrot?
Ooh, Mandelbrot, please.
I'll have the Mandelbrot.
Are the pretzels handmade?
No.
Okay, pretzels.
Thanks.
Oh, one more thing, waiter.
I'm a flight attendant.
Well, attend for a minute. I was browsing the in-flight catalog, and I have something that I want to purchase. I would like one of the life-sized robotic dogs. Amaze your friends, does higher math, a great companion, solves mysteries.
I don't think they have the stuff on the plane, Butchie.
Then why advertise it?
Oh, we do have that particular item, sir. Please wait here.
What do you need with a robotic dog?
Like Doctor Who. We time travel. We might should have a robotic dog. Says it does math. You have difficulty calculating tips at restaurants. This might help.
Sir, the dog will meet you at the gate when you exit the plane.
Thank you, Bellman.
How much was the dog?
Free.
Free?
Yeah, it says priceless.
We went through this before, man.
Anyway, you can't put a price on free robotic dogs.
Hey, we're landing.
I knew we would.
I can't wait to get to the hotel and try out the free body wash or lotion selections. Then I'm hitting the pool or the bar or both.
I need a nap.
I love sleeping at hotels. All beds are better than my one at home for some reason. Man, thinking about home, I hope I put out the fire I lit on the couch and also brought in the please rob me sign.
Well, I did a sweep before we left and put out all the fires and also turned the hose off that you had flooding the dining room.
Thanks. Good looking out.
Watch it, lady. I'm getting my bag from the overhead bin, and I might shift you in flight if you get my meaning.
Calm down, Butchie.
She's giving me the squint face.
Just mind your own business, man.
My parents used to do business in Pittsburgh. I don't take grief from people.
Well, let's just get out of here and get your robot dog and then head to the hotel.
Break down the temple Zion sees the joy that from thy presence springs.
To spend one day
with thee on earth,
to spend 1,000 days on earth,
to spend one day
to spend one day with thee on earth,
to spend one day with thee on earth exceeds 1,000 days of mirth.
Cold-hearted orb that rules the night, that turns the nightly night to night. Cold nightly frightening nightly night is frightening nightly, so is night. So nightly night the frightening comes, and we are shaking nightly thumbs. No scary bits and ghostly nights to nightly ghost. Tonight is night. Nightly, ghostly nights, and friends, the nightly ghostly nights, that were little spooks and frightening ones, are come to frighten only numbs.
I see Tom left the non-dairy creamer. Think I'll give it a try. Oh, nope, that's cocaine. No, Stick with coffee.
Tom.
Tom and I sharing a coffee. Non-dairy cream is fine. It's non-dairy cream is fine. Try. Give. Oh, God. But Tom's non-dairy.
It's lovely. I thought you'd like it. That's why I'm showing it to you last, and it's the most expensive. All the square footage you could imagine in a house this size. Bedroom, bathroom, closet, kitchen, second half bath, driveway, access to laundry.
I like the windows.
Seller says the windows come with. This neighborhood is filled with houses of this era, and schools, the school is named for Fred Willard. Now, you can't beat that. Military Performing Arts School.
Closet looks good.
Closets come with all hard floors, all conventional wall and ceiling framing, off the charts in terms of power and Water City garbage. It's a steal.
Well, we really do love it.
House spirit? I have to tell you, some houses have human souls.
No, Don, it's Lou.
What's that voice? Excuse me for a moment, won't you?
Don, I'm in some sort of universe that's an amateur radio net. Are you?
I am right in the middle of selling this awesome house to this great couple here. Can I call you back when I get to the office?
There's nowhere to call. Ask to join the net.
What?
Say your name, say your initials in the phonetic alphabet. So you're Don Bourgeoisie, that's Delta Bravo, and then just make up a number or something.
Normally I might say, let me get this straight. But this doesn't sound like it can be gotten straight.
Good instincts, Don.
All right, well. Delta Bravo 1984, checking into the net.
Copy that, Delta Bravo 1984, checking into the net.
Oh my gosh.
Are you somewhere different?
Yes, I'm definitely somewhere different.
Can you hear me, Don?
Butchie?
Yeah, we're in some amateur radio land. We are currently living in a universe that is a radio frequency.
Which one?
No clue, but there's a net control operator, like in the movies. What movies?
What movies?
About ham radio nets. Anyway, there's an entity controlling everything.
Oh, are we trapped here, Lou?
I'm afraid so.
Here's something that makes me curious. You asked me to come in here.
Yes.
Knowing I would be trapped.
Yes and no. That is kind of crummy. Hear me out. Don is the only person I know who has been separated from his corporeal identity and survived.
Yes, true.
We have been reduced to our voices. And even then, our voices are garbled and hard to understand. Don does have intellectual combat experience.
So the question is, how do we extract ourselves from this?
Why would you want to?
The net control operator.
I brought you here so you could interact and enjoy the conversation.
The conversation is mainly about how to get out of this radio.
You are not in a radio. You are in a frequency. You are waves on a wave.
Like if the water could surf itself.
The other day, I watched the 1929 Soviet film by a guy named Vertov, called A Man with a Movie Camera. And it is a remarkable film. It's about an hour long, and it is chock full of full of every camera trick that you can imagine. So this is 1929, and those camera tricks are brand new. A lot of them innovative. And there are so many interesting shots. It's like some sort of non-linear surrealist film, but it's also a documentary about Ukraine and Russia at that time, the Soviet Union at that time, the cities of Moscow, Kiev, and Odessa. And so you see people doing their business and rubbing themselves down with mud and all those sorts of things that people did back then. And it's delightful, as well as these crazy camera shots. So what it's showing you is, here's what a movie camera is. Here's what it can do. Here are the things it can document. Here are the interesting illusions it can create. Here are the feelings it can evoke. And all of that in this one movie. A man with a movie camera. And if you were watching it and I was narrating it to you, it would start out, there's a big movie camera and I'm a man with a movie camera standing on top of it. See, it's a silent film. And so it requires some sort of sound accompaniment, or some people think so. If you'd like that sort of thing, you could play your favorite music with it or your own music, or you could stand there and do it. A sort of narration with it. Now I'm over here looking at all the people going to work in the factory. Like that. But what it is, it's a film about film. So it shows people going to see them and how it's cut together and how all the moving images are actually individual still shots. And so it draws attention to itself. It shows you how the tricks are done. It shows you visual illusions and then how they're created. And the magic doesn't change. It's still amazing. And I wanted to do something like that with sound. So this is a man with a microphone. And what I'm trying to do is show you tricks. I'm trying to show you the times, the culture. I'm trying to show you some feelings. I want to be evocative. I want to show you what the medium can do, at the same time do it and move you and trick you and all those things, all with sound, using words. And sound is just like light in that it isn't. Well, no, it isn't like light. It's like light. I don't know. It is and it isn't. Is it? Well, you've got these sensory organs and things are bumping into it. Waves are bumping into the sensory organs. And then I don't know what they do after that. That's not my job. Can you imagine if I had to think about that? Well, if you're going to go into broadcast or any kind of sound arts, you must know physiologically exactly how the ear works. Well, I don't know. You must. I know the old radio tests they gave you were much more technical, and you had to sort of know how the radio station worked. I don't know whether they thought you were going to get abandoned there alone in some kind of Twilight Zone scenario where you're the only one now at the radio station. You better know how to work a transmitter. I'm glad it was on the test, and I have my FCC broadcast license. I don't know that I've ever had an individual one. Maybe at some point. But a lot of times I've been part of organizations where, oh, you're under an umbrella one. Who's? Just a guy. But I guess you have to be licensed to broadcast some. Oh, my goodness. You know, free speech is not free. There's fees and taxes and stuff. And censorship. But other than that, it's free. You can say whatever you want. It's just that you may lose your job or be killed or something like that. Those are merely consequences. We're not talking about consequence-free art, which is why I try not to say anything because I'm thinking, do I want to be killed? No, I don't know. Yes and no. You know, it's some days, other days, no, my goodness, I'm enjoying it. How fun is this? But it's always nice to make sound, I think, and I make it a lot inadvertently. That's why I'm trying to keep down air travel now, because I'm moving into that part of my life where I think I'm making noises a lot. A lot of them are associated with dyspepsia, which is that some kind of soda company in a dystopian Pepsi? Is that what you're saying? No. Is that what you're saying? Are you saying like apocalyptic Coca-Cola? Apocalyptic Coca-Cola. That'd be a good band name, wouldn't it? Let's just make a band. I don't want to, I don't think. Come on, bring music with me. I don't really. Bless your heart, I don't want to. I got a garage. I live in it, and it's a practice space. Oh, and it smells like cigarettes and sweat and another thing. I want to see if you can't guess what it is. I don't know. I'm not exact. No, I don't think I want to play that game, but I'm sure, I don't change my clothes anymore since I had COVID. All right. I don't know. I can't smell it. Who cares? Listen, I want to tell you something. I want to show you how I make certain sounds or create certain moods. I'm not saying I do it well. My level is about like, I should have been more prepared. I'm missing a prop. Hang on a minute. I got it. Give me a second. So when I was a little child, there just started to be people having tape recorders that you could make sounds on, and then you play it back and you hear yourself. That was amazing. Because I was also on the tail end of sort of, there wasn't much of that on the radio anymore, but there were story records. And I was listening to story records a lot. And so they'd have sound effects and all. And I remember I had this one aunt, and we were playing with the tape recorder, and she said, you can make fire by wadding up paper. My paper I got's too thick, so I don't know what it's going to sound like. Okay, it sounds, to my ear, it sounds like paper being wadded up. Let's see if we can't make it sound like fire. Oh, this crackling fire. This is so nice, this fire. So I love the beautiful fire. Crackling fire. I like wadding up paper next to the fireplace on a cozy, cool. And it's windy outside. And that got me hooked on it, and I thought, well, now next step is slapping steaks. And you go, that sounds like somebody being punched or anything. But that's a lot of waste. See, but I don't want to waste slaughter an animal just so I can punch it. Tell that to God.
I thought you were hungry, so you killed the animal and ate it. What?
I might have taken a piece of it.
What?
And I hit it, so the sound sounds like hitting a person.
Why didn't you just hit a person?
That's a very good point, because it doesn't sound realistic enough. You have to, for some reason, you have to flay them, and you've got to get that blood splat kind of sound. Things have to be bigger. They have to be unrealistic to be realistic, because the real isn't real enough. This is true of gunshots and punches and all sorts of things. They're all, lots of them, layered. And so that's what I've done. I made a bunch of sound effects recently. And what they are, individually, they aren't really sound effects yet. They are when I take them and I put them in layers. So I'll give you some for instances. Here's a few different punches. So I made some punches, and they're all sort of different. For that, and then all together, layered, they sound like that. Now here's crushing a green pepper, and then add some green pepper. Ooh, that's a good one. There you go. Now the fall there is actually this, which is a slowed down apple being crushed by my foot. And that. So here they are layered. And here they are layered with a crunch. Ooh, he fell and he crushed his skull. Now, after you've heard it a couple times, you start to hear just vegetables being crushed. So it is an illusion. And once you focus on something, you say, well, hey, the illusion is breaking down. And no longer am I as fascinated by it now that I see how it's done. But the mere fact that it was done should be fascinating to you. How was I fooled? These ears, these eyes, my senses. How were they fooled? That smells like, is that cheese or socks? Here's an effect I use quite a bit. It's just a hum. Now this one I think I recorded my refrigerator. Ooh, so loud. But actually, this kind of hum disappears, and it's the sound of an empty room. So if I was doing some kind of liminal space thing, so we're in the back rooms, I'd have, whoops, that's me opening the fridge. That's accidentally in there. Sorry. And now I've looped it. So there's just more hum. Isn't that nice? And so what's that is like in a painting, that would just be your first coat. Say, oh, I thought the background was white. And I go, look, no, he's painting like a tan kind of color over it. Why? Well, and hear me open the fridge again. Get something out of it. Because that's too quiet. Isn't that interesting? Now, you're listening to the radio or whatever you're listening on, your telephone radio, and there's always background music. So I've quoted John Cage saying this before, that the silence is actually traffic sounds, because whatever the bass sound is, that's the canvas. It's never fully blank. There is a extra quiet room that exists somewhere. Where? You look it up on the internet, it'll tell you. Its location really is not the point of my bringing it up. There's a room where you can experience absolute silence. And when people go in there, they feel very disoriented. And I think it's apparently not a, my understanding is it's not a pleasant experience. And sometimes the brains will explode, or they will aspirate vomitus. I don't know if this is true, but I know that we're not used to that. And even if you are hearing impaired, there are vibrations in the world, and we feel that something's going on. Now, same thing with light. If you've ever been in absolute darkness, as I have. When were you in absolute darkness? Well, I actually was. I was in one that you probably have been too. I was in a cave in Western France because it had those, they said, there's caveman markings in it. I go, okay, I'd like to see that. And I go, well, it's well into the cave. I go, all right, well, we need to take a torch. A torch? No, that's what we call them. Oh, a flashlight. Yes. I don't know if they called them torches. I think they do. Flambeau? I don't know. So we took these big flashlights back there and went into the cave and saw the caveman just made their handprints on there. It's lovely. And then someone from 1666 was in there and wrote 1666, which I thought was very clever. And then the tour guide said, maintenant ferme la... Flambeau, I don't know. He said it in French. We said, everybody turn off their flashlights. And we did. And it was blacker than pitch, because pitch has reflective quality, slightly. I've never seen anything so, I've never experienced anything so dark. I immediately, it felt really uncomfortable. It felt like there wasn't one gosh darn photon in the entire place. There was nothing to latch onto. Your eyes never adjusted or anything. It was very, very strange and horrifying to me. And I immediately had no idea where I was. And I thought I was floating in space. and I had a heart attack and I died, and they left me there, and I'm still there. And I don't know why I'm speaking to you, but there you go. And that's what happens if you eliminate all, if the sound was gone too, who wants that? That's like altered states. And then, who knows what'll happen? You'll devolve. Now, I don't know, but if that would happen, and I hope it doesn't happen because that I've cut off the background noise of this radio show, I'm just trying to demonstrate something about perception. I mean, there's so much we can do with our eyes and ears and our senses, whatever senses you do have. Not everybody has all of them, nor are we all experiencing the world exactly the same. And that's why it's very important to know that a good deal of it really is literally illusion. So the illusion is coming to us, and then we're extrapolating. We're motion smoothing. You know how those TVs that say, well, oh gosh, the frame rate, my refresh rate is faster than the frame rate of this old quaint movie. So I'm going to make up some stuff and frames and put them in there. And so it'll be lovely. It'll look like 80s All My Children or something. And then that's what we do with our regular vision and all. We see the world and it's incomplete and our brain is just sort of filling things in. That's why it's a little bit easy to fool the eye, not just Penn and Teller. If you fool Penn and Teller, you've really... But the thing is, it's actually also easy to fool them because of them being human beings. And so they're using their senses. And all you have to do is somehow manipulate things a little bit and use our weaknesses to delight us. Oh, I love it. Who doesn't love to be fooled in that wonderful way? I'm still fooled by puppet shows. I go, are they alive? I see the puppets. I say, what are they doing? What is they talking? They're talking. What? What? I don't know about that. I guess some things like that. It depends on how sophisticated the puppets are. Because there are some very, sophisticated puppet styles. And you go, wow, it really does. I feel like that puppet is the king and his soul is tormented. And look at him. You could tell because his hand's touching his little wooden forehead. Now, there's the other end where it's a public access or something. And it's a, tell me about your, hey, do you like church, little Billy? Yes, I do like the church. Blah, blah. And it's just somebody bought a fake Muppet-looking puppet. And they're making it say all manner of things that conform to their bigotries. It's lovely. I wish I had more puppets. They're good to scare people with. I like to give people the feelings of there being giant demons. That's what I do with them. So what would it be like if we had to walk around and there were large devils running everywhere? I think what happened to me, I got like 1920s sensibilities in me or something. You watch those old cartoons, and they're all really just like having the delirium tremens. It's DTs, it's hallucinations, it's all, but it's alcohol. It's pre-psychedelics. So that trippy alcoholic sensibility from the early 20th century, or even going back to the 19th century, I bet, with some of the imagery. You've seen like cartoons and look how big his head is. I've seen that. We sort of enjoy that thing, being disoriented, being a little bit frightened, a circus atmosphere. What's going on, Hardy? Are people really being shot and falling down and being hit and everything? No. I had just watched that scene in Twin Peaks The Return, where Ike the Spike is stabbing the lady in the office, and I'm not saying she doesn't deserve it, but she tried to kill our boy Dougie. You say, what are you, come on. It's all the violent demons killing one another, but it's still horrifying. but he's stabbing. And so I was listening to it just because I like to recreate TV and movies on the radio. Because do you really need the pictures? I mean, they're nice, but I like either pictures and no sound or sound and no pictures. Putting them together, it's a lot. It's just too much. And life does that. I'd go to the theater if I wanted to see that. So I really like either a moving painting or word music, something like that. That's just my preference. And I really like sharing with you process. Like, how do you do it? How do you make sounds like that? How would you keep someone's attention? Hey, how do you keep someone's attention? Hey. How do you keep someone's attention? Listen to me. How do you keep someone's attention? Well, I think in that there's all sorts of ways of keeping it and getting it, and a lot of them are universal, or there wouldn't be air raid sirens. So as you know, there are some techniques such as screaming at a very high frequency, at a very high volume, is attention getting. Now there's attention keeping. That's a little harder. How do you do that? Well, there's various ways to do that and engage. One is you should appeal to people's worst inclinations, I think. Or no, I didn't mean that. I meant you should appeal to our desires, the ones we all share. The desires that are almost like needs. Wants that are almost like needs. They're weeds or something. Or nonce. Because they're a combination of them. So it feels like a want, but it might be a need. And among those are what? Affection, something like that, attention, excitement. You know, none of these things are required to live, are they? We don't need them to sustain us. But a life without these things, it's like having a life without just the basic spices or condiments. No salt, no pepper, no what else?
One of those dietary sweeteners.
I'm trying to think of things that are on a table at a restaurant. Dietary sweeteners. Let's see, dietary sweeteners. Bing, 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 bing. All right, what else is on a table at a restaurant?
I'll say napkin holders.
Napkin holders. All right, well, something else. On a table at a restaurant.
I would like to say a placemat that has a map of the state you're in, and then all the towns are marked with some kind of graphic depiction of something that they're famous for.
All right, let's see it. Placemats. All right, one more. Something else we find on a table.
I will say crusty bottle of Sriracha.
Crusty bottle of Sriracha. Ding, 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 ding. There are so many things, and there's so many sounds we find in public spaces. That's why it's nice that we live in the age of telephones that record things. Because then you can...
3 hours later.
No, I just had to cough. I just pressed off for 2 seconds. But as I was saying,
2 hours later,
the public space sound. All right. So I have recorded on my phone a couple sounds, either at restaurants or things like that. And some of the things that you'd be shocked at is how deafening a lot of restaurants are. And just really, really, really good. And you don't think about it until you go to try to realistically mix something that sounds like you're in a restaurant, and you realize that no one will ever hear the dialogue because it's so loud. And maybe that helps the I think it really does help conversation if you can't hear me. You just see our beautiful, open faces. Saying, oh, hey, it's not what I'm saying. I love you. I'm so glad to be here.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. So maybe it's okay if we don't hear the content of what's being said. In the same way that it's not important to know that the sound we're hearing is actually a green pepper and not a skull. We don't really want it to be a skull cracking open with brains in it coming out or anything. But we'd rather it be a green pepper, which, if I had filmed myself crushing this thing close up, it would be repulsive in some way. I don't know. There is something biological about it. It just seems, it does, like, oh no, I feel like I'm killing a gazoo on the Flintstones. I'm crushing his little head, little green-headed person. And because the stuff in it looks like, it could be brains. I don't know. I don't want to break open creatures just to see how they operate. That's no good. I don't wonder if you are sometimes frustrated that I'm not saying anything directly. That you are maybe confused that I'm not talking about some specific event in history, some crime that was committed and somebody who we suspect might have done it. There's this murder. Leon Moses, and we think that Mike Schiparoo did it, and now I'm going to do a whole podcast on it. No information like that. Not going to tell you about something in history. Did you know the pyramids were built three different times? Did you know that the Sphinx, the original head, was Harry Ritz? I don't know, but I could do all sorts of podcasts like that. AI would never have said that. That's how you know I'm real and old. I'm still pandering to people born in the 1900s. Because,
Grandpa, look at me. I'll make you laugh.
Sometimes, because that's why I have those. I realize that's what I'm doing, is that we're always, some older relative, we're always trying to please. And sometimes you get stuck doing it for just decades. And decades after they're gone. So I do feel like I'm still trying to make my grandfather laugh, and his skeletal remains are, you know, desiccated. They've gone past the putrefaction stage. I wish I still have my papier-mâché paste down here. I could make a goopy sound for you that would disgust you. Why do you talk about those things all the time? Because I like mixing the very dark and the very light, the very real things about life. And how we choose to characterize them is largely based on our ignorance and fears. Oh, my goodness, how could anything I see around here not be so? It just is. And I would like it to be unnatural, but I'm absolutely soaking in the natural. Natural is like liquid detergent, and you are soaking in it, and it can even soften your nails, kill bacteria, lubricate a slip and slide. I'm trying to think of other things. Degrease a duck. That shouldn't even have to happen. Good Lord. But if we did, I would love to do a sound effect. I have some ducks come visiting my fish pond out back. They don't know that it's not real, and they go in there and splash around, and I think they're going to make a little family. There's a drake and a, is that a hen? I don't know, lady duck, and they are mallards, and they come and hanging out, and I'm trying to take pictures of them. Now, he's got a big green head. So like what I said, when I was crushing the green pepper, I'd be like, oh, it's not my duck friend. Just keep saying that. Who would eat duck? French people. Anybody, really. Duck hunters, hopefully. Nope. I make
I make things out of the bills.
What?
I make little novelty clips.
Oh, no, I don't know what you do. I wish that I would like my remains to be made into touristy novelty things like they used to have. Old-timey, like Florida tourist things. Like just have my femur and then somebody paint Florida on it with a little palm tree or something. Now, I'm not in Florida, but that just seems appropriate. A bone with Kentucky written on it doesn't hit the same, I don't think. And on my skull, oh, save that, because I think that I would like to have my skull donated to an art department somewhere, but I haven't decided which one. And I don't know, I don't want it jewel encrusted, like Damien Hirst or something. I wonder what I want done with it. Can I say, I wonder? I would love it. You know what would be fun? Donate my skull, and then the art piece is a really bad clay facial reconstruction. So it just looks ridiculous. Like when the old lady restored that painting in a church in Italy or something and made Jesus look like a rhesus monkey. And that would be funny. It's like on a real skull, someone does a facial recreation, but I look like Barney Rubble or something. I think that'd be funny. That'd be a good exhibit. And then put that in a museum or gallery or whatever. I don't know. I'm not an artist. I know I'm not an artist. I'm just a person who's curious, who likes to do things and make things and then show them to people. And I don't know why. I really don't know why. I could stop doing it. And I've thought about that a lot. I go, why are you even doing this radio thing? Well, I enjoy doing them. It's a very strange thing. I'll make a show, I'll put it out there, and I'll just forget I've done it and go on. It's like I've never done it. And I love it. I know there's people, I'm pretty sure people are listening. But there are weeks that I have absolutely no evidence. Let's say if I don't look at the message board even sometimes the comment board, you all know, sometimes you choose to talk about something else and say, hey, we're just going to use it to sell a couple TVs or something. So you hope someone's listening, or maybe you don't. I don't even know. Oh, bless you. I want to connect who I want to connect with, I guess, is my goal. Because I haven't found a way of kind of accumulating the affection beyond the moment. That's why I'm just an in-the-moment guy, I guess. Because I haven't found a way to hoard a connection. But I'll try. Because once I do it, I do a show, it'd be nice to... I wish I had a bunch of albums or something, but it just disappears into the... It's like I go into the recording studio multiple times, and I come out and say, well, you got a bunch of albums? No, I don't. Can I hear the thing you did? I guess it's in there somewhere. But for the most part, my job is to shout into space. And then I choose to add the sound effects to make it interesting to myself and to you. Because I'm not sure you're not me. So that's why I want to take care of you just in case. Because I've got this funny, funny, funny feeling that I'm everybody.
You? What are you, God?
No, I mean like you are everybody. Like we're all, you know. I just want to make sure that I'm not, you know, hurting myself. By hurting others. I know that sounds selfish. But I'm thinking that maybe, you know, maybe all life is connected or something. And I could be good to myself by caring and loving others. But we'll see. I don't know. I'll give it a shot. I don't know if I'm doing it the right way. Because the sound effect thing and all. And the talking on the radio. But bless you, I know you're you're thinking the same things I am, you know? And bless you, I think, want the same, similar things. And so my heart goes out to you. I'm loving being alive at the same time as you right now for this moment. There is only now and there is not now. So thank you for listening. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition, FMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Thank you for listening, and I will see you again next week.
Thank you.